That is Debbie Hillman, and she co-founded the Evanston Food Council. She was on the Illinois Local Food Farms, and it had so many different names.
Yeah.
You know, that it was a task force at one point, which is now the council. It was called, what was it when it was?
Well, the legislation was the Illinois Food Farms and Jobs Act.
Right.
And that's really the best term I use.
Yeah. So Debbie was part of that. I first met you just several years ago. I think it was Rooted in Austin.
Yep.
Was the first time.
Your live show. We had such a great time.
Yeah. Debbie is just started a new concern. Why don't you tell us about it?
Well, after working for food policy for 6 years and not making too much money, I decided
there's no money in it. I don't want to break the news to you.
There is no money in food systems right now, but
no.
We're changing that. So the time-honored, you know, human history says after you do something for 6 days or 6 weeks or 6 years, you take a day off or a year off.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm taking a year off. This is a sabbatical for me to do some more learning about what is needed for all of us in the United States to think more about food, about our food system. What are the problems that exist in our food system, which are many, and what do we do about it? And so this is an election year, 2012, and I just decided to see to do a survey. Are there any congressional candidates running on food as an issue? You look at the long list of issues on election websites, and it's about jobs and health care and war and Afghanistan and monetary reform. And they might have agriculture. They might have hunger. They might have poverty. There is almost no list mentions food that I have found. I mean, I haven't done exhaustive research, but I already know the answer. We have 18 congressional districts in Illinois, and I don't think there's any candidate. There are 35 candidates running for those 18 seats, and I don't think any of them is running on a food platform. They're running on health care. They're running on jobs. They're running on economic development. I want to see food as a basic, common sense, universal need that is really the largest arena. When if you step back for 5 minutes and think about how much time and materials and resource and land we put into our food system, it is the biggest. It's the system that has the biggest impact on the world and on ourselves. So why not put a little thought into...
Because that would be too easy. I mean, to actually think about this ahead of time. You know, we're much more comfortable as a society with made-up controversies. And that's and you're rolling your eyes,
yes.
But it's absolutely true. We have all these, in the political realm, issues that are really non-issues. That nobody like the deficit issue is just the complete... nonsense. It's utter foolishness to, you know, let's just get the economy rolling and this idea that we can cut our way to prosperity, you know, cut programs and that will be how we get prosperous is insane. And I was going to say right thinking person would actually understand that, you would think. But no. And then something that you're talking about, which is food policy, farm bill, which is making its way through Congress right now.
Right.
Very important.
Yep.
And yet there's going to be a lot of the same old, same old, same old propping up, same old insurance, probably cutting the programs that would help people who could use the food. You would think that the farm bill alone would get some of these politicians talking about food as something they want to run on, but I think you're fighting a hard battle here but I admire it because you're trying to get it on the radar. Let's be smart about this.
I'm just trying to clear my own thought process, my own brain. We are, as you sort of have been describing, we're most of the conversation that happens in, you know, among pundits and government and just on the street, they're made up conversations. They're not they're abstractions. They're big words that really have no connection to something very real.
Yep.
And so the food system for me at the age of when we founded the Evanston Food Council in 2005, I was 54. And it was a way for me as a sort of a person going into the last third of their lives to streamline my own thinking. I've got I want to do something here. But all this, there's too many dots on the map. It's like, how can we streamline focus? Where's the core? What's the leverage point? And food to me is a leverage point like no other.
Well, in Illinois, and this is a, this statistic has now become almost a cliche. But we talk about it all the time, and you talk about it on your website. I've talked about it on the show that in Illinois, we import 95% of our food.
Yep.
Okay. We have some of the greatest soil on the planet here, some of the greatest growing conditions in the world, and we import 95% of our food. That is the food we eat. Why? Because we use the land basically for commodities.
Because of policy.
Yeah.
It's not one individual making a decision over and over and over again that's added up. It's because of federal policies that have encouraged monocropping or it is a system, and I don't want to get caught into saying identifying one issue as one. The farm bill is not the cause of our problem.
It's part of that machinery.
Right. So I just, absolutely. It's a joke. Illinois is a farm state, and we import 95% of our food. It's how, how did that happen?
I think we all want to know that. 773-763-9278. If you want to talk food policy and what I'm going to get to in a sec here with Debbie Hillman is the Illinois Food Survey, which she's starting, which is going to lead to a larger survey across the country. I'm interested in your points of view, and so's Deb. Because this is what she's trying to figure out in her, you know, you say you're on sabbatical, but you seem to be working awfully hard for being on sabbatical.
Sabbatical means I get to do what I want to do.
There we go.
When I want to do it.
773-763-9278 if you want to join the conversation, and we would appreciate hearing from you. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Debbie Hillman is in the studio with me, and she's with D. Hillman Strategies, Food Policy for Voters, which she has just launched.
Kind of a mouthful, I know.
No, it's okay, you know. But you got your website, new website, is going to be a little simpler than that. What's that going to be?
The Food Vote 2012.com takes you directly to my website where you can learn about this food vote survey, and the Illinois survey is a pilot project. One thing I did not know when I started investigating doing an election survey was that a lot of the states haven't even had their primaries yet. Primaries go through September, believe it or not. Some of the New England
states. Isn't that amazing?
So, Illinois is one of the earliest, but there's primaries going on this month and through the summer. So the election is still a total crapshoot. I mean, that's why we have the vote in November, because this is not a done deal here. So my hope is to make food an election issue somewhere. And I'm starting with Illinois just to sort of figure out, get my survey down. And then in July, I hope to go national and see how many of the 435 seats in Congress, how many candidates running for those seats are running on a food platform.
And it'll be interesting if anybody is.
Exactly. My Illinois survey has been up for a week, and I don't have a ton of responses, but I do have responses from all over the state. And no, according to the responses I've gotten so far, nobody in Illinois is running on a food platform. But not all districts are in yet. So,
and that's foodvote2012.com.
Right.
So if you go there, you can get the survey, and I'm linking to it right now. It's also at my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show, and you'll find a link to the survey. So you're starting with Illinois here,
yep.
And I'm looking. Where's the Oh, here's the survey.
If you go under survey,
yeah,
and then there's a link to the survey itself. Yeah, on the survey page.
Okay, I'm looking at the survey link here. Where's the exit this survey? I'm looking for where the... Oh, there we go. Boom. Here we go. So you ask questions like, where do you reside? Obviously, which congressional district are you?
Right. That's essential.
And then you just start how you learn about this. And
the central question is, are any candidates in your district running on food?
Mm-hmm.
And there are two or three districts where people are running unopposed, so it's only one candidate that you have to look at. There's a couple of districts in Illinois that have three candidates. But so there's no more than three candidates that you would have to look at, find out if somebody in your district is running on food.
And then what do you plan to do with this information once?
Well, I'm going to be blogging weekly. So probably this week, Tuesday, I'll put up my first blog and sort of summarize the information that I've gotten so far.
Mm-hmm.
The geographical range. I got a lot of great comments from people.
What are you hearing?
Well, the one that came in last night or yesterday from Springfield, and these are all anonymous, so I have no clue who they are. This person says, most foodies believe they can vote with their fork and don't understand the need for political engagement. Well, I know that, but it helps when you have somebody else say the same thing or maybe say it in a different way. One of my questions is, I'm asking people to suggest ways in which we as grassroots people can be more effective in talking to our candidates and getting them to commit. One person said, the most effective thing I believe is to bring it up in a public meeting to get candidates to commit publicly. And I agree with that. The more you do in public or in a larger group, the more your efforts will not go wasted.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Get them on the record.
Right.
Because it's easy to and you want other people to hear them talking about food. You want other people to hear the question about food and whatever that might be, and then the candidate's response to that.
Right. A lot of people. I call that, and I call that kind of opportunity soft messaging and soft policy making. A lot of people think they need to write a fancy document and take it into their legislator and have a private one-on-one, deep, serious conversation. And if they just convince them how well thought out your whole plan is, well, then of course the legislator or the candidate is going to adopt it immediately. Well, that doesn't work. The legislator needs to know that there's other people that agree with you. And sometimes it's just getting it out in the air, like you say, just getting it out in public. That starts building critical mass. The more you talk about food as a policy issue in any context, the more other people are going to hear and their ears are going to perk up, because the word food is a positive word. Everybody likes to talk about food. We all like to eat it. It's very – there's so many ways you can talk about food. It's a positive issue. So,
well, in terms of Illinois, all right, you intend to have this go national, but, you know, we know Illinois. We mentioned earlier that 95% of the food here is imported into the state. would the goal with the Illinois legislators be to get them to understand that local food is healthy food, that local food, that the thinking needs to be going? I mean, you talk about it on your site. Let me read something. You write there, for 60-plus years, American voters' food attention and resources have been over-focused on creating a global food system to the detriment of every local farm and food economy in the world, including local food economies in the United States. Symptoms of local food system dysfunction are manifest in every American community and every sector of community life. And you list some of them, including public health, which in reduced lifespan, skyrocketing health care costs, infant mortality, hunger, malnutrition, overnutrition, mononutrition.
I made that up.
I like it. Yeah, you eat the same thing over and over again. It's a mononutrition. Obesity, diabetes, too. Cardiovascular disease, in terms of education, loss of basic life skills and cultural heritage, loss of food literacy. Where does your food come from?
Nobody knows, including rural kids. Farm kids don't know where food comes from.
And even if they do know where food comes from, and it's part of the mission of this show, is to teach people what's going on in the soil. How is it you grow stuff? Now, that's part of it, too. Now, to some people, that's just being geeky, nerdy. But if you can teach people about the life of the soil, you can teach them how to grow anything.
And that's where you get into food systems, because the opposite end of the food system from production, as you know, is what do you do with the food waste, the food scraps? It's composting. And right now in urban areas, especially, I mean, I live in Evanston, and for 30, 40 years, our food scraps are going in the landfill. Our leaves are going to the landfill. Mm-hmm. Nothing is returned to Evanston soil. I mean, I'm just using Evanston as a microcosm. Nothing.
I can say the same thing about Chicago.
Exactly. Right.
And there's a lot more people.
Yeah. And it's not being returned to the farms either. I mean, the food that we get imported from California, yeah. Are we shipping it back to California? I'm not suggesting we should, but are we? I mean, how are they replenishing their soil? Mm-hmm. So this is why it's a food system.
I'll bet that in California, yeah. Though, they compost more than we do in Illinois. Mm-hmm. And you just touched on a really important issue. If you and for the folks saying, well, how do you make food an issue? This is one. It's like, what are we doing with our waste, our organic waste, which we are in Illinois are not particularly good at dealing with?
And our garbage hauling dollars. The city of Evanston alone, we haul away our food scraps and our yard waste. Our yard waste bill is $750,000 a year. And I personally think we can eliminate that entirely. I can save the city of Evanston $750,000 a year by teaching people how to compost. And then the food scraps. The individual restaurants pay thousands of dollars a year on hauling away food scraps. And we need to figure out how to keep that more local. So it's growing local. It's keeping our food scraps local. It's understanding where our food dollars go. Where do our food dollars go? Do they go to our farmers in Illinois? Do they go to the community gardeners, down the street?
Mm-hmm.
No, most of our food dollars are in all sorts of taxpayer subsidies. And I'm not talking farm subsidies. I'm talking about big subsidies like transportation subsidies, export-import subsidies, water. The farmers in California, the way they can do it is with water subsidies. And we're all paying for that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a system. That's really what I would really want candidates to understand, is that we're talking about a food system. I'm not personally advocating any particular agenda except knowledge and knowledge about the system, mm-hmm. which and every American citizen is ignorant about the food system.
You know, I'm wondering if you went into a candidate forum and asked the question, where do you stand on how to deal with organic waste, you just watch their heads explode, because this is something that these people have never considered at all, I'm sure.
Right.
I mean, the average person doesn't, and the average politician doesn't think about this at all.
Yeah, it could get very embarrassing, actually. It really could. I have approached a couple of candidates in Illinois over the last 6 months, and I want to be gentle. I'm not advocating for them to immediately craft a very sophisticated platform on food systems, but I would like them to hold a listening session on food, mm-hmm. where they learn and they give the opportunity for their constituents to learn.
Let's take a phone call here, 773-763-9278, and we're going out to JR in Plainfield. JR, how are you?
Hello, Michael. I guess my question is, or I should say, my comment would be, is that I've been listening and all these different things, and it's not only it's the word waste, and we talk about all this, these people. Why aren't we using yard waste? Why aren't we using food waste? Why aren't we using I've talked to you in the past about biosolids, you know, human waste. I think that's the big thing, is nobody's waste.
Yeah, you're saying we're using the wrong word here, and you have a really good point. That it, if it's used properly, it is not waste, and words have meanings, and your point is well taken that the discussion needs to incorporate different words about what we're doing here, because if they're used properly, what we call waste now feeds our soil and it feeds our plants and it feeds us.
Well, in 30 years in the soil business and soil mixes and all the rest of it, and then we came on with the whole yard waste issue of keeping it out of the landfills and this and that. But yet I can go try to sell somebody some compost, but we, on full disclosure, we say, oh, it's yard waste compost. Oh no, I don't want any of that waste. I don't want to yard.
Yeah, and that's what and I see your point, and that's why I think it's valuable that what word do you use, JR?
Oh, I guess I don't know. I try to stick to alternative organics. You know, I don't have the exact answer. I've talked to so many different people, and it goes, and then the whole thing is that it goes back to being able to do a lot of this. Because it has that name on it, we have our illustrious IEPA who wants to get involved in it because it's been deemed a waste. It's not a waste. It's a feedstock. And, we've been in heated arguments and heated discussions and everything, and it's no, not unless somebody wants to change it. And I can't do it alone, and there's a lot of people that can't do it alone, and the legislative, people, they almost get afraid of, the EPA. Oh, but they say it's a waste. Wait a minute.
Well, part of the problem we had in Illinois was that we took the word waste way too seriously up until a couple of years ago when HB 99 got passed. Was it SB?
SB 99.
SB 99 got passed. It made it a little easier for companies to start up composting businesses. It's still not as easy as it should be. And before then, though, food waste was considered basically in the same category with toxic materials. It becomes this health issue, and then people, not so much sometimes the IEPA, but the health departments that we're afraid of. We say, oh, my goodness, we could be spreading diseases. And yeah, we need to be careful. But the other thing is we also need to be smart. And we do need to use those resources that we're not using. And we're slowly turning that Titanic around in Illinois so that we can actually create compost materials that can be done. This could be done in states next to us, but not here to some degree.
Well, definitely, and the other one is that I don't know, good, sad one, or whatever, is every person that I talk to, I should say a majority of the people that I talk to in the industry and this and that, says that one big problem is Illinois. We live in the wrong state, and
what do you mean we live in the wrong state?
Well, there are so many other states that are embracing the idea of composting, of reusing, of, you know, reducing and using the organics that, you know, states, different countries, you know, just embracing the organic end of it, of that we have a wonderful thing. I mean, you know, wonderful resources. You know, your guests talked about leaves and all that kind of stuff. I mean, for 30 years I've been doing soil and everything, and I go and I take soil from the western suburbs of Aurora, Naperville, Oswego, Joliet, and we put it in a truck that's burning diesel fuel, and we truck it 50 miles into the city to see a truck of organic material passing me on I-55 going the other way, 50 miles the other way.
Yeah.
I mean, use it where you lose it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Listen, that's an excellent phone call, and
the only other one would be is I'd like you to put a jar together, Mike, and every time you use waste, throw a quarter in it, all right, for me. So,
all right. You'll be rich. All right, JR, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 773-763-9278 if you want to get involved in the conversation. And JR's just got a really good point. You know, and that's just part of the issues that we're talking about. Food, scraps, or the end product. If you don't want to call it waste, what do you call it? But educating our elected officials to the idea that 30% of what goes into landfills is organic matter, and we have to stop that.
Right.
We had the landfill ban that just passed and is sitting on the governor's desk, and I want to talk about that in just a second as well. And that the idea that we don't want to put it in Cook County, and I had somebody write me and say, well, you people in Chicago and Cook County, you can't just send it away. Well, and he's right. We have to figure out how not to do that. I don't want it in Cook County, though. You know, I think Cook County's been abused enough as it is.
Well, I mean, I've been trying to figure out what the history behind that bill and what are the real issues, because in my point of view, Cook County as a county has about 75 garbage transfer stations all over the county. That tells me that Cook County needs 75 composting operations.
Yep.
And so some people might call them landfills. Now, there's different kind of composting. There's the open landfill that people are probably imagining, and that's probably not very doable for 75.
Well, and it's not efficient in terms of composting.
Right. So how about biodigesting, or there's a middle ground, there's inside composting. And people have already figured out there's a guy in Virginia that does this. I've been working with a woman here in Illinois who's been trying to open her own indoor composting facility. So it's a big warehouse, and it probably looks like a landfill, but it's inside, and you take all sorts of precautions to eliminate the vermin and the odor and whatever. So I think, you know, this is where technology might be helpful to us.
We need to investigate this. That's Debbie Hillman, D. Hillman Strategies, Food Policy for Voters. Go to foodvote2012.com. Take the survey. Help Debbie out. Help Debbie figure out how to approach our politicians, our legislators, about and teach them about food issues. Got a couple of tweets here. We got a couple of phone calls we're going to get to in a second from the seed keeper company gals. JR is so right. We should call it food energy. Just because it isn't eaten doesn't mean it won't supply energy to our soil. And then Carl Zimring tweets, this is a great example of waste as inefficiency rather than waste as filth. He calls it squandered value. So it's all very interesting.
Milorganite, for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com for a garden center near you.
And there's a perfect example right there. Milorganite is, you know, it is taking the, and I'm using air quotes here, the waste product, creating fertilizer out of it. And I think this is one of the ways that one of the things we have to look at, because we create so much waste. We can't just keep piling it. We used to take biosolids and dump them in the ocean. Well, we can't do that anymore. And Milorganite is treating them with bacteria and then fire them up. They heat them and destroy pathogens. They found out how to eliminate heavy metals, and they keep working and developing that. And these are solutions that we have to find. This is why I like so much what they do, because it's taking something that otherwise somebody wants to throw away and creating something useful out of it. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Debbie Hillman is in studio with me. We got a couple more calls. Let's go to John in Schaumburg. John, you're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you. Debbie, I have a question for you. Reference food stamp program. 1 out of 7 people in the United States are on food stamps. $72 billion a year are being spent on food stamps. But the money being, the people are using that the money to buy items from Cargill, PepsiCo, Frito-Lay, Coca-Cola, Kraft, like the Cheese Mac, which has no nutritional value, Walmart. What it is, our politicians are afraid to change that program because they are getting donations from the these large companies. Why do, and these, the foods that are being presently purchased through the program are causing obesity in the United States, which is also adding to Medicare. Why don't you go after these politicians and tell them they need to change the food program where people can only buy nutritional foods that will be beneficial to them?
Well, number one, I don't want to tell anybody how to spend their daily food dollars. Food is a survival thing on a day-to-day level. If you say tomorrow that those people who only are surviving on food stamps, that they can't buy the things that are available in their neighborhood, you're basically putting a muzzle on their mouth and tying their hands. And I don't think that's what this country is all about. But you are right. There's a huge disconnect here. This is all about the left hand and the right hand not talking to each other. So I just want to say that the public health community is strongly rooted in food system work right now. The Centers for Disease Control is leading the way. They are funding lots of great organizations and initiatives to change that, basically, and to help get fresh, healthy food in neighborhoods where there's a high percentage of people on food stamps. So that means creating gardens or farmers markets or double couponing for farmers market produce. So, you know, at the same time that you say no to something, you have to provide the alternative, especially in food. It's you can't tell people not to stop eating tomorrow.
And I think that's part of what you're doing. Thanks for the phone call, John. I appreciate it. You're trying to teach these things to politicians as well, and that's kind of your whole thing. It's like help educate our legislators so we can educate our citizens as well. Deb, thank you so much for coming in. We've had a lot of response here to this, and good luck with the survey. Again, I want people to go to foodvote2012.com.
Thanks, Mike. And I'll be blogging weekly so people can get up to date on what I'm learning on the survey.
You know, and maybe we'll actually get our electorate educated. Maybe even our legislators.
Well, I would just say, you know, tell people to, I'm telling whoever's listening now, talk to your candidates.
All right. And go green or go home.